Good Friday afternoon and welcome to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Socolo Village Studio. It is May 26. I'm Dan Shear, editor of the Green Valley News and the Sahuadita Sun, sitting in for Bill, who's winding up a wonderful two-week vacation in the Caribbean with his wife, Anne, and they're out there celebrating their anniversary. Bill is here Monday through Friday at noon, and you can catch the live stream or access all the archives at buckmastershow.com. On Fridays, Bill gives a shout-out to the Buckmaster Show media partners, which include TucsonSentinel.com, the Green Valley News, Sahuadita Sun, Tucson Local Media, and Tucson Weekly, and you'll find all of those and more on his website. In our Friday Focus interview today, we are going to be talking to Tom Murphy. He is the mayor of Sahuadita. Lots to talk about with him. Joining me in studio is Brianna McCord. She's the Green Valley News, Sahuadita Sun summer intern. Brianna, glad to have you here.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
If you have questions or comments, you can join us. 520-790-2040. That's the Buckmaster Show live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Tom Murphy, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Thank you. And again, I'm always proud to be with you on the, as the B team. So, and our B team is growing, so I'm very happy about that.
Bill's always glad when you're on because Sahuadita is a player in the community.
It is. We're very proud of where we started. We're the fifth youngest town in Arizona. Started in 1994, 1,800 residents. And we're right about at 37,000 now. So
wow.
It's been an interesting journey.
Wow. And only growing. You go down there and it's just construction everywhere. But it's smart construction, right?
It is. That's what we advocate for. And,
okay.
and of course, I've lived there since 2003. And then really, it's been an amazing journey. Most of my early days were on the school board.
Right.
I reflect back when I was first elected, we had 2,000 students. And now we're upwards of 6,500. So it just reflects that growth since I've moved there.
And then very early on, you worked for Rancho Cerrita, which is roughly half the town.
Yes.
It's kind of the 800-pound gorilla there. And then you started showing up at council meetings and just got swallowed up in that. However, you were on the school board, what, 16 years?
14 years.
14 years.
And a few, actually, both on the school board and the council.
Yeah.
So.
And we should mention at this point, you're retired Air Force.
Yes.
So you have an income.
I do.
This isn't a guy just looking for something to do. And I will say that you and I have not always agreed on things, but your service to the town is remarkable, and I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. And and I don't agree with my wife on everything either, so I take
okay.
That's all fine, actually.
Well, I think people would be nervous if they had an editor and a mayor who agreed on everything.
Yes,
so,
they would.
So lots to talk about here. I want to first get started off on really what is one of the biggest stories of the year for us, and that is the annexation by the Green Valley Fire District. We went through this, I don't know, 10 or so years ago maybe, and it did not come through, but we have a different situation now because the fire coverage in Northern Cerrita is through Rural Metro, and it is a subscription service, and not everybody has been getting the subscription, and therefore they simply didn't have the revenue, and they're pulling out.
Correct. You know, no, absolutely. And when we were informed of that, you know, we had to jump through and try to figure out what is our, because as you mentioned years ago, there was actually sort of a three-way conversation very many years ago, whether the town goes into the fire business, goes with Rural Metro,
sure.
Or goes with Green Valley. So there were sort of three outlooks on what you should do from that perspective. That didn't go well to go the town to go in the fire business. And so then it was really between Green Valley and Rural Metro. There was a choice. Well, with Rural Metro pulling out, it's really a binary choice at this point. You just, if you want to have lower insurance rates and actually have people responding in case you have an emergency, then Green Valley is looking to annex the area. And my understanding is it's going very well in a very
right.
short period of time.
Well, so let's go back because this is the first time I've ever lived in a community where I had to go buy fire service.
Right.
It's very, very awkward, whereas the Green Valley Fire District covers the southern part of the community, plus, of course, all of Green Valley, and it is a taxing district, therefore it's just automatic. But I had to go out and buy it. Why is it not a good idea for the town to go into the fire business?
Well, if we did, and we, let's say we started a tax, my understanding would be that everybody would be taxed. We're not allowed to tax just a portion of our town. So you would either be either double taxing the folks that already have Green Valley Fire District, or you would have to make an attempt, and I don't know how that would work, to move that boundary. Actually, Green Valley would lose, Duval Mine Road, from Sowerita Road south. So having Green Valley Fire District within our community for so many years, including the Green Valley area, I felt it was a natural choice just to allow them the opportunity, because right now, you have to get 50% of your residents to vote for it, mm-hmm. as well as 50% of the assessed value. So it really is up to the residents on if they want to have Green Valley Fire District providing, which I would say is a very professional service.
And they do have a track record, and it's a very good one. And why would you replace something that's working? And it's expensive to start a fire department.
It is, and that would have a lot to do with it, the capital cost, obviously, right. of doing it. And back to the reputation, I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was, when they ran a bond mm-hmm. within the area, I think it was over 90%.
Right.
That the residents supported the bond. So if that was an indication of comfort and acceptance of who was your provider, very few elections that I've ever seen, you're over 90%.
And so at this point, they are collecting signatures because, as you said, they need half the value and half the residents, I guess.
Right.
And they need that to get on next year's tax rolls. They need it by October?
By October, yes. And when I last checked in, they're only about 40 days in, and they have about half of the signatures collected.
Oh, wow.
Yes, within 40 days. Now, the summer, there's usually a little lull because people are traveling and vacation. But I think because of how the messaging, again, it's not a choice between two. It's really, at this point, a choice between one or none.
Right.
And then we'd have to figure out what our B plan was.
Right.
If, in fact, it wasn't successful. But if this is any indication, I think things are looking really well for them.
Currently, in the northern part of the community, Rural Metro has two fire stations. They just closed one.
Correct.
Going to hurt things?
Yeah, no, not my understanding, because if you look at the town boundaries with Pima Mine Road on the north and Sowerita Road in the middle and then Duval Mine Road to the south, having that other fire station open on Sowerita Road, it does go in... satisfies the response time within our town boundaries. And just as an example, the last two nights we had our two high school graduations. When Rural Metro was there with the fireworks and for safety, Green Valley Fire District actually had apparatus in the fire station. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's the level of an automatic mutual aid, mm-hmm. but that's how they're operating in all honesty, as a mutual aid, automatic mutual aid agreement. So they've always backed up each other. And during this transition, Green Valley has really stepped up to back them up even to a higher degree.
Under any scenario, are we going to be without fire protection in the northern part of the town?
No, not that I'm aware of. And that was one of the reasons that the town, for the interim period up to 18 months, to actually pay a subscription to Rural Metro. One, to protect our own assets, which I think is very important, mm-hmm. but two, also increase the opportunity, the chance that Rural Metro will stay, because that's really what they wanted to commit to do while this annexation transition period was going on.
Okay, let me bring Brianna McCord into the conversation. She is our summer intern at the Green Valley News and the Sowerita Sun. Brianna, you have a question for the mayor.
I do. So the town of Sowerita just bought a church and the church lands. What's going on with that?
Yes, no, great question. Well, Animex Park is really our one park facility for programming and summer camps and those types of things. And as I mentioned earlier about our growth in the town, well, Animex building is about 4,000 square feet. I think the vice mayor has been on the council for 13, 14 plus years. And at least in her tenure, she doesn't remember it ever being expanded during that time. And when you tailor that with the growth, connect that to the growth that we've had, we've just really been under space utilized. All of our programming that we have, the summer camps, we have 11-week programming, biweekly programming. Usually our capacity is about 30 kids, and our waiting list is longer than actually the sign-up list is because of that. So this was, to me, a unique opportunity that it was for sale. We didn't pursue it. We didn't go after them. We learned it was for sale. When I mentioned earlier, Sal Rita Road sort of bisecting our community, it's on a great corner with about two-thirds of our students are probably in walking distance from our main campus in Copperview. And it's 11,000 square feet. We got it at about $239 a square foot for construction, where I couldn't even replicate my house today at that. And within that area, it's in Rancho Sarita area, where there's an architectural review process. So it would even be probably a little more costly just to make sure that it blended in. So we just thought it was a really unique opportunity to add some programming space to our community. And I think we'll be filling that up. It's tentatively closing in July. I think it's July 7th. And, you know, we're going to evaluate the space utilization. But it was actually, when you think of a church, I'm Catholic, so I think of pews and seating that is, you know, bolted into the floor. Well, this is really a big multi-purpose room, the way it was constructed, because initially the church was going to build a bigger facility, but they started with a multi-purpose room. So it has a lot of flexibility that we're going to be able to take advantage of for the benefit of our residents.
It is an active church. They went from 250 members down to about 30. They can't handle the mortgage.
Right.
I've heard the terms church bailout. This is not a bailout.
No. And I when I was talking to someone the other day about it, I referenced it to I might have been in a smaller home, and I've been watching Dan's two-story home for a number of years. And I thought, boy, if that thing ever came for sale, you know, I'd like to really go after it. So I didn't see it at all as a bailout. It was, again, an opportunity that came before us in a really great location, and knowing that we really are underserved from a square footage space for our programming. As you know, or Dan knows, that our average age is about 37, with a lot of families and a lot of kids in our community. So to having that programming space available immediately, I mean, you think of all the projects that have been built over the last couple of years with supply chain and labor shortages. I can't even imagine how long it would take to actually build that facility from day one, and the cost of it as well.
We've had public meetings, we've had consultants, we've had surveys all around Parks and Rec, and so my assumption is that this fills a need.
Yes, absolutely. We just approved and completed a Park and Rec open space master plan, and the HOAs have certainly helped us from our outdoor space, because it does take some of the capacity for our fields and gathering. But really, it's up to the town to provide those type of facilities. And the number one and two needs or requests on the survey was a pool, a town pool, and more rec facilities. So as we move forward, 10,000 square feet, 11,000 square feet won't certainly meet all our needs. And the capital needs are great. And you know, we're looking at, obviously looking how we can initiate the more parts of that plan as we move forward.
And for those keeping score at home, it's $2.4 million.
Yes.
And that is a steal.
Yes.
If you had to build that right now, you couldn't do it, especially, 6 acres, I think?
Yes, 6.5 acres.
Yeah, would be a little tough. In fact, you simply couldn't do it. And
right.
So, as I recall, it was a steel building, and there's just pretty much nothing inside.
Yes.
You just plug and play.
Yes, and gives us the ability to actually build out of that from a park and rec perspective, because how it's located on that corner and can actually serve the needs of the northern part as well as the southern part of our community. Sal Rita Road is an interesting transportation corridor until things like the Sonoran Corridor, which connects I-19 to I-10 or I-11 to expand up to Vegas. Sal Rita Road is the only I-19 to I-10 connector. So that's where the path of growth is from the Sal Rita Farms projects that will be growing about 15,000 homes. That's, you know, east of that. And then our CCAP area, Sal Rita East Area Conceptual Plan, that's east of that. So anything on Sal Rita Road really is, I think, a path to victory.
So who gets the awkward job of taking the cross off the church?
You know, I have not asked that question. You know, I think it's a good job for an intern because they get all kinds of unique opportunities to
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, it's going to be a little strange, but that's what you get. So.
Right.
Okay, we are in the midst of our Friday Focus interview with Sal Rita Mayor Tom Murphy. And just before our break is Bill's favorite time to talk about Mona's Danish. Yep, Mona's Danish Bakery. That's pretty much the place everybody knows about. Mona's on the northeastern corner of Swan and Sunrise. You'll note that I'm not saying it's in Sal Rita, which is your job.
Yes, it is.
Why isn't it there?
You're working on it?
I'm working on it.
Sure. Every time I come, I'm going to say I'm working on it.
Okay. Mona's is home of the Danish Kringle. Mona's Danish Bakery, open for breakfast, lunch with indoor and patio dining, plus online orders and pick up our welcome. Mona's, northeast eastern corner of Swan and Sunrise, and we sure hope real soon down in Sal Rita. You are listening to the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting live from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio. Our live line is made possible by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be right back.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in Southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in Southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Shear, sitting in for Bill. I'm with Sal Rita Mayor Tom Murphy, joined by reporter Brianna McCord. Tom, on May 13th, early hours, we had just an awful, tragic incident in our community. It was a head-on crash. It took the life of 20-year-old Tomas Ayala and suspected drunken driver is the one who hit him, and we're going to let the courts take care of that. But Gabriel Ayala, who is Tomas's father, showed up at Monday's council meeting, and he was a bit distressed over something. So here it is, barely a week since his son died. They had erected a roadside memorial and got a knock on the door from someone saying, yeah, you got to take that thing down. There are rules. We understand this, and they're there for safety and everything, but man, this seemed cold.
Yeah, no, I mean, certainly it was a tragedy, and like so many tragedies, the person yet to be, adjudicated, but, that had nothing to do with it is the one that obviously tragically passed away, and the potential drunk driver didn't. So obviously, certainly a tragedy. Now, we have policies in place, as you know, Dan, from driving around the community, there are memorials.
Sure.
And having those in the right of way, which is a safety buffer, especially depending on the size. And in our policies, there's restrictions from the size. But I get it, because when it's your family member, and whether culturally or otherwise, you have these type of memorials that you'd like to erect when they're outside of the rules. That's where sort of rules and the heartstrings get pulled apart. And I think there was an offer to move it just out of the right of way, which they didn't say they would like to do. So, these are tough, tough calls when, depending on, what is too large, what is too distracting, because one of the things we wouldn't want, especially in a right of way, is to have something that creates another danger,
right?
From either being distracted, or if you have to pull off on the road in the night, depending if it's lit and not lit, that would cause another accident, which nobody would want. So it's sometimes really hard in cases of tragedy to really navigate the best way of being sensitive, but also following the policy. So I could see a discussion coming before the council on memorials, and do we put something up that after a certain amount of time is a standard, afterwards, because it's, well, what do you allow? If someone literally wanted to put a 30-foot billboard up, out of memorial. So it's just the difficult struggle.
I think common sense and sensitivity would also dictate that, yeah, don't say anything the first couple of weeks.
Right.
This is obviously this family trying to heal, and I think that's what was most shocking to them. There also is, and Gabriel Ayala brought this up, is it's more than 15 years old, but there is a roadside memorial on La Cañada, just south of Sarita Road, to four teenagers who were killed in an accident there many, many years ago. That has been in place and well cared for, by the way, for a good long time. Even when they redirected the road, they made sure that memorial stayed there.
And I think, I might have to be corrected, but I think that's actually on private property.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big question,
too. When it's on private property, we don't have auspices over that, but when it's in the public right of way, and part of it just comes from a lot of times those public right-of-ways is where utilities are. So to not know what's going in the right-of-way, no matter what it is very important, because, again, we wouldn't want, somebody hammering in. I know when I put up political signs, I have to be very careful, and the town would like to know where those are going. And you have to, blue stake and those types of things, for that. So it's just tough during a really tragic times when rules and those other concerns for the greater community come into play, because when they're dealing with that tragedy, it's all about the heart.
Right. Exactly. I'm going to bring Brianna McCord back into the conversation. Brianna, question for the mayor.
Yeah. So being a Sarita resident,
and
bred, I just kind of want to know, what do you hope to see or expect to see, as in terms of growth of the town, or just kind of plans for the town? What do you hope or expect to see?
Yeah, and really the simple answer would be good growth as we continue to grow, which I think we have a lot to be proud of doing that. Most of our property is encumbered by a few developers, from FICO in the future to Robeson to Rancho Sarita. So we already know most of those master plans are only about half built out. So we understand that's going to continue. The Sarita Farms project, when the pecan trees eventually come down, that'll be about 15,000 homes. So what we, from a town's perspective, back to buying the church and having appropriate programming. So when I always look at our budget, our first expenditure by far is police. Of course, it is our only 24-hour day, 7 day a week, 365. But I think that's very important that you, as a town, you focus on the foundational edicts of government and public safety, and having a safe community, to me, is number one, because then we won't have discussions about residential homes, or does a Culver's or a Trader Joe's, which I'm always asked about, would they come to an unsafe community? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're seeing across the country, some of these high national brands are actually leaving some of these cities. Yes. So I'm always proud of that, and we were just named by Safewise, a rating agency, as the third safest community in Arizona. So we're very proud of that. Infrastructure, public works, usually is our second highest budget, because having good roads, I've heard stories over the years where a CEO will fly in to Tucson International Airport, and back in the day, they're bumping out on through the potholes, and then they're thinking, well, one, do I want to locate here? And two, will the families of the workers want to locate here? We, out of our general fund, we get our highway user revenue fund from the state, but we've been supplementing that each year to the tune of about $500,000, $600,000. And when El Tour came through the community, I was part of a meeting, and we got a lot of feedback from the writers and what they liked and what they didn't like. And one of the things they actually called out was the good roads within the town of Sahuarita. So I was very pleased about that. And then third, usually in our budget, is our park and rec budget. We overseed our fields, including our dog parks, which we can never build enough. We can never build enough baseball fields. And I've learned recently, we can't build enough dog parks for the folks that love our animals. And right. I have a dog as well. So really keeping the high quality of life there, I think will help serve us well as we have our signature community events that try to bring the, I think the high hurdle is really a lot of the master plans do a really good job serving their residents. What we want to do is do our job to serve all of our residents. So the Sahuarita Stars and Stripes, July 4th on Tuesday, I was very proud during the pandemic. We were the town in southern Arizona that had fireworks that year, because if we're not celebrating our freedoms and liberties, then we don't have anything else, in my opinion. And this Saturday we have Let's Fly. It's a outdoor flying, kite flying event, not to be confused. My wife tells me to go fly a kite. That is not the same thing. This is Let's Fly from 9 to 11 at our North Santa Cruz Park. So it's really quality of life, and it comes in many factors. Safe community, great infrastructure, and great parks and park and rec programming. Again, back to buying the church recently.
Yeah.
And really what you want to do is give people less reason to travel to Tucson, jobs, shopping, et cetera. How successful are we at that?
Actually, it's been going very well. And this was pre-Great Recession. We really learned we had about 70% tax leakage out of our town up to Tucson. Mm-hmm. And I remember not being connected with politics at all. And you'd see these quaint campaigns about shop local. And I really thought, well, it helps support the local entrepreneur. So I get that. But I really didn't realize at the time that if you're taking your little bit of extra sales tax revenue, that helps that community's ability to build the next park or pay the next police officer. So if I'm depositing any of my money into another community, they're saying thank you to me. I'd rather deposit that money. So we really went on a diversified economy plan. We were very heavy into residential growth. But when that slowed down, which is connected to construction sales tax, we really weren't diversified enough. And that was before me, that was Mayor Bloomberg that actually wanted to more move us on a three-legged stool. We were sort of on a one-legged stool with residential growth. So to bring in more retail and then more jobs, workforce, things like the Samtech building, the Northwest Hospital, along with all of these other shopping opportunities. And not only for the current residents, but when I mentioned attending those two graduations last night and the night before, I reflect on why does a Brianna want to stay in Sahuarita?
Right.
Or why do these students want to come back after? And if it's not well-rounded on the offering, good housing, safe communities, restaurants, stores. Now everybody has an opinion what they want here, and we don't have enough square acreage in our town to satisfy every single need. But that's the goal that we're always trying to work on, to keep a good, safe, high quality community and bring or keep you in the town that you grew in.
Well, and we'll put Brianna on the spot as a 20-year-old who's about ready to graduate from college. Now, we are within striking distance of Tucson, and that offers a lot that young people tend to want.
Right.
But what does the town need to get you to stay here? Now, your family's there, which is a big draw, of course.
Right. Yes.
But what do you think's missing? And please don't say Trader Joe's and Applebee's. Okay.
No.
You can say that if you want.
I mean, I think really a lot of housing is expensive. I think, especially for young people who are just starting to get out into a career,
Right. They're
not making as much as these families are.
Sure.
And housing is a major issue, especially when we are so close to a 55-plus community like Green Valley, where housing is hard to find for young people and is affordable for young people.
Yeah, it can be restricted in a lot of ways, down there. And that's why I was so supportive of the rezoning across from the Safeway on La Cañada and Duval Mine Road, because I think of that as well. If you have, how can a single teacher or a single parent come to Sahuarita and live? I mean, our median new home price is now pushing almost $400,000, and you tailor that with interest rates that are creeping up, and that's a big deal. I serve on a committee with the Sahuarita Food Bank, Better Together, and workforce and just affordable housing is really one of the barriers to to these workers. If you're working at La Posada, where do you live? I'd rather not have people having to drive up from Nogales or Rio Rico, which I know a lot of workers do drive up from, because that's probably where they can afford it. And again, that's why I was a proponent of the rezoning to bring some apartments in. You have to have a diversified housing stock, in my opinion, to be able to have you graduate college and then maybe move out on your own and then stay locally in the community.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to hold Mayor Tom Murphy over for another segment. Still a lot to talk about. Thanks for hanging in there with us, Mayor.
Oh, I love it.
We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Things Socolo Village Studio. And don't forget our live line, made possible by the professionals over at Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. We'll be back in a minute.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars, Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. I'm Dan Scheer, sitting in for a vacationing Bill Buckmaster, who's going to be back on Tuesday. We are with Sahuarita Mayor Tom Murphy. Tom, looming over the city is the Copper World Project. It's mining. It's owned by Hudbay Minerals. And I was out there maybe 3 weeks ago just poking around and seeing what's going on out near the Helvetia Cemetery site and beyond.
Right.
There's an awful lot going on. How is it going to affect Sahuarita, and what are you hearing from residents?
Yeah, actually, I get occasional emails about it. Sometimes I sort of have to chuckle a little because it'll be in the guise, usually, of a form letter about you're my elected official, signed by somebody out of Flagstaff, mm-hmm. or somebody, one was out of Georgia. I'm thinking, well, I guess I have more political abilities than I realized. I only thought I covered Sahuarita. As you know, I've been a supporter of the mining industry for a number of years. I think, you know, if we're going to move to green technology and an environmentally sensitive world, personally, I don't think there's any better country in the world that's going to abide by labor practices or environmental standards than the U.S. does. I think it was 2021, 80% of the copper used comes from outside of our country that's needed. So, and it's a critical resource. I think we've learned through the pandemic to rely on other countries for everything that we need and require is not a good thing. And that's why I think you're seeing chip manufacturers and such as American Battery Factory just coming in just north of us, which I think will help fill up some of our homes and create more shopping opportunities and more businesses. But copper is where copper is. And when I was stationed up in Nebraska, you know, there's probably opportunities you can plant corn and wheat and, you know, different areas. But again, copper is where it is. And I think we are the copper state. Copper is on our state capitol dome. That I think it's a little hypocritical that we want to move to this new green technology that needs all these resources, but require copper. I just don't want it, you know, coming from my backyard where it happens to be. So I have had a tour up there recently. Some of the exciting potential, in my opinion, of this is they'll have the ability, because of the ore, they don't have a lot of waste rock on the top to get to the ore, that they can actually do the extraction on site. And I know they're committed to the highest degree possible to all the copper that's extracted will be sold and used within the United States. So I think that's kind of, from from my perspective, that's a win-win.
You use the term critical resource, but water is also a critical resource, and it's going to use a lot, and some of it's going to come from under Sahuarita.
Right.
And that is the hands-down biggest concern for a lot of people.
Right. And to me, you know, I think they have been a really good partner, stakeholder, even before they've started, you know, going into operation. This will be about a $2 billion construction project. And hopefully there'll be some spinoffs from us. But as it pertains to water, they have about 8 years of banked water already up in the Marana area. So they can operate today for about 8 years. But voluntarily, what they committed to is, along with Community Water, Project Renews, to bring and recharge 100% of the water back to the aquifer that they're actually going to be pumping from. And that's voluntarily, because they can recharge within our active management area, but not actually from the aquifer. So the building of that 36-inch pipeline, I think, serves us really well from a water resource.
Is it as simple as saying water's not going to be an issue if or when this mine opens?
I would say water is not going to be an issue when the mine opens.
What concerns you most about it?
Well, from all of the interaction over the years, I can't think of, because again, of the oversight of so many of the agencies, if they're not compliant with the things that they're doing, there's many, many state and federal agencies. But to me, the foundational point of it is this particular Copper World is all on private land.
Right.
And I'm a big believer in whether it's you have land, you're going to rezone for apartments or anything else, that first and foremost, that you have the ability. When I reflect on how long, because as you know, Augusta owned it before HUDBAY, it's been going on about 15 years. And being a retired military guy, I was thinking of the World Wars, and they've been in this process longer than World War I, World War II, and the Korean War all put together. And there's just something wrong with a process that takes you that long. I know you have to be careful and
well, but
and
that vigilant. same process that allows mining also allows you to challenge it.
Yes,
and
it does.
They've been doing it rather effectively.
Yes,
to at least hold things up. We did just recently have a ruling on the jaguar. A female jaguar with cubs has not been seen in the United States since 1910. Let me just point that out. The jaguar thing was always to me kind of a red herring, but it was certainly something that you needed to check out. But I'm not surprised that the courts have said, yeah, this is really not an issue.
Right. Well, and I also know they the opponents didn't win the case with the Arizona mine inspector.
Right.
Basically they said he wasn't doing his job, and he is the Arizona mine inspector.
Well, yeah, so a couple of losses recently for opponents of the projects over there. So, but what are you hearing from Quail Creek? And let's just say it's somewhat of an upper crust community. It's in the town of Sahuarita, and they are going to be the physically closest to the open pits
right
when this gets rolling. And we're talking upwards of some million-dollar homes out there. What are you hearing from those residents?
Yeah, no, certainly the mostly about the views, how and what will those be affected. I know when I was up there and kind of using geometry of sorts, because it will be 7 mineralized sites that they'll be mining on. But, you know, when you're sitting down at ground level looking up, you might see some activity. But unless you're on an airplane, you literally are not going to be seeing down into the pit, much like I'm very close to ASARCO, mostly to ASARCO mine,
sure,
a little bit to Freeport. But when you're driving down, you know, you see no mining activity. You know, you see the lifts, the mine tailings and such, but you don't see the trucks and all of the processing that goes on there unless you go for a tour. And being this is in the distance and elevated in the distance, you could see some activity. But I've watched the limestone quarry, sort of the white spot,
mm-hmm,
referred to it, sort of grow over time. And it's just sort of to me like watching your kids grow up. It's just a little bit each time. And certainly, as you mentioned, the million-dollar homes, it certainly hasn't affected our home values. It certainly hasn't affected mine being so close to ASARCO and Freeport. And I think the technology they're looking at utilizing and it was 21st century technology. I think they have to put up a bond for reclamation, no matter how it goes. And I think most of their workers and subs get subcontracted out the construction. So I think there will be a good opportunity, hopefully, when we talked about diversifying our economy, that we'll have some of these companies hopefully locating in our community. So people will be able to stay a little closer to home when jobs are available.
Well, we're talking to Quail Creek and several realtors right now who do business in Quail Creek about just our sales being affected and what our sellers disclosing to potential buyers about the mine and about the Vulcan Asphalt project, which we will get to here in a minute. But Sarita is getting a little cutting edge here, announced this week that they're going to go to 4-day work weeks,
yes.
10 hours a day. And this is an experiment, isn't it?
It's a pilot program.
It's a pilot. It's called an experiment.
Experiment.
Okay. So tell us about it.
Yes. Well, we want to be not only the town of choice for people like Brianna to come back to as residents. We want to be.
And no, Brianna, we're not going to 4-day work week. So.
But if we do, you get to push that a little bit.
There's precedent now.
There's precedent.
Yeah.
So we also want to be the employer of choice. And our new town manager, well, he's been a year now, but Shane Dilley has worked in other communities that actually have gone to this. And the communities that have gone to it as a pilot program, because change is hard. I certainly understand that. When given the chance, because this will be a year-long pilot experiment, that when they come back to a situation, they say, no, we don't want to go back once you figure out childcare and vacations and those types of things. So to have a 3-day weekend, and for residents, our town clerk's office does free notarization. Well, it's 8 to 5, because that's when we're there. Well, that's when a lot of people are working. So to be open from 7 in the morning to 6 at night, we think this will be able to provide additional services on top of using some hybrid working that for a lot of the departments can be utilized. Because I had to change my mindset, being an old guy. You know, I sort of equated, you know, butts in the seat to production, but you can be as productive or not as productive, no matter where you are. And really, it's about the production. So if I need a memo helped written for me, do I really care that Brianna is going to do it at 9 o'clock at night?
Sure.
As long as I need it by 8 in the morning when maybe she has some quiet time or time to reflect on it. So we'll be one of the, well, I think we're going to be the only one in Southern Arizona that's going for it. So it's really to try to make us a little more flexible and be the employer of choice.
And if you're interested in learning more about that, the town has put out a Q&A that's pretty exhaustive, very good.
Right.
And we will see how this goes over the next year and see if others will adopt it. And
I'll be waiting for the Green Valley News and Sal Rita Sun.
We're on it, baby. So just know that. So so many topics we didn't get to. I guess we'll have to hit them after next time Bill's on vacation.
we'll just keep him on vacation and the B team will be in the house.
Very good. So thank you to Mayor Tom Murphy, Town of Sal Rita. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay, and we will be right back to wind it up.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Hey, have you considered a weekend getaway? Check out our friends in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. They're just 3 hours east of Tucson. There's a lot to do in Silver City and Grant County, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness and visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. You can find out more about what to do and where to stay at southwestnewmexico.com. org. Brianna McCord, our intern, I hope it's been a good experience for you on the air.
Oh, yeah, it's been fun.
Very good. It's very different than interviewing someone for print, isn't it?
Very.
And so, yeah, but you, yeah, you just kind of let them talk. You did a good job. Memorial Day weekend, we're giving you Monday off. What are the plans for a 20-year-old over the weekend?
Actually, we're going to do a pool party and a barbecue with my family.
Very traditional.
Yeah, going to get together with my grandparents and swim and eat food. And
good. Can't think of anything better. And as I've groused on Monday, the company is sending me to North Dakota on Sunday, but it's actually a good time of year there. North Dakota should be beautiful this time. So I'll be up there for a couple of weeks at a couple of our newspapers there. So I will be enjoying the long Memorial Day weekend in part in airports, so it should be a lot of fun. So Bill is going to be back in this seat on Tuesday. We all miss him after taking the long Memorial Day weekend to recover from his vacation. He's going to be joined by former Arizona Secretary of State and current state lawmaker Ken Bennett, also financial consultant Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report, and University of Arizona climate scientist Dr. Zach Guido. It's been a couple of weeks where we've had under a new format the Monday one-on-one, which allows us an extra guest. And of course, when Bill is gone, we are allowed to bring in our own guests. And so we've had a couple of weeks here. I've done four of his shows. A couple of weeks of having people from down in our area or the mayor, for example, and we've had a couple of great topics. So we really appreciate Bill allowing us to do that. And we're always glad, I can speak on behalf of all the hosts who have been sitting in for him, we're always glad to be giving him a little bit of time off and some R&R, one of the hardest working journalists in Arizona. The Buckmaster Radio Program is a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, which is responsible for the content of the program. Our thanks to Buckmaster Assistant Rosemary Brandt, who is absolutely awesome, producer engineers John Couch and Tom Fairbanks. Tom joined me behind the glass today, and the entire team here at Bustos Media Tucson. You have yourself a wonderful long Memorial Day weekend, and we, Bill, will see you on Tuesday. Thank you.